So, Sarah, the reason we frame a lot of our questions is to take into account, let's say, the art of oncology when we get beyond the data. It's fine, you want to look at various resources and guidelines, et cetera. You can look at the database, and then it comes down to making a decision. And we find that sometimes we say, which one of these PARP inhibitors are now four approved in oncology. And people will say, like what you've been saying about CDK, but then we say, okay, here's the situation, what do you do? Do you have any preference? And you kind of get out beyond that into maybe something deeper. Are there any situations where you prefer one CDK inhibitor versus the other in terms of efficacy? So you have a patient who is very symptomatic and you still want to use hormone therapy. They have visceral mets. You want to see a response. Any preference?
So, I will say just based on the data, no. But I think, there are certain circumstances where I will pick one agent over the other. I think those circumstances are one, if I'm turning to using a CDK4/6 inhibitor in the late line setting in a patient who's never seen one before but has had prior endocrine therapy and chemotherapy, then I do use abemaciclib as opposed to palbociclib or ribociclib because we know that that agent has been studied in that setting and has, about a 20% monotherapy response rate. The other setting is, with abemaciclib, we also know there is CNS penetration clinically with CNS activity that's been shown. It's not to say the other agents don't have CNS activity. It's simply that we actually have clinical data with abemaciclib that demonstrates that. And so if I had a patient who had progressive ER-positive CNS disease that was CDK4/6 naive, I would certainly lean towards selecting abemaciclib in that situation.
But again, you said in a later line situation. What about upfront therapy, first line in a patient with extensive disease, symptomatic disease? Again, any preference?
So, there is this subgroup analysis that was done from the MONARCH study suggesting that patients with liver metastases had a relative benefit to abemaciclib that was greater than those patients without liver metastases. And, I think it's challenging because this is an exploratory analysis that can't be proven to be statistically significant, and it's not compared to the other CDK4/6 inhibitors. And even in combination with endocrine therapy, the response rates are really also the same, and duration of response is, probably about the same. And so I don't think, again, based on data, we can say that you should be picking one agent over the other in someone with visceral metastases as opposed to someone without.
And again, we're not really getting into what people should do, but I'm kind of curious what you do, Kamal, for example. Again, that kind of situation, a lot of tumor burden, symptoms, et cetera. Still, any preference about CDK inhibitor?
So I think I have been using a lot more of palbociclib just because I think it has been the first kid on the block and I've just gotten more comfortable using it. And I feel like in terms of monitoring, it's only CBCs that I do in the first 2 months and I've not had much difficulty. It was nice to see the subgroup analyses from the MONARCH 2 and 3 trials that Sarah was talking about and interesting and hypothesis generating in my mind. But the largest follow-up that we have really is with the PALOMA trials with palbociclib. And if you look at the forest plots to look at the subgroups, which subgroup benefited more or not with the addition of palbociclib, even patients with bone-only disease or visceral disease had equal amount of benefit. So I think with the median follow-up there of 37 months, I feel very comfortable saying that any CDK4/6 inhibitor is legit given the hazard ratios have been similar in all these trials.